So welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. As it appears around us, it moves through us according to who we are, according to our desires and our choices and our understandings of ourselves. So who we are, whatever your choices, whatever your beliefs, whatever you are knowing about yourself, however you identify and describe yourself, whatever are your pronouns or whatever your culture, all of that is part of the divine expression that you truly are. Our response to that, and really the only honorable response that we can give, is to celebrate you and how you are choosing to live the love and the life that God is moving through you right here, right now. I am so excited to be part of this morning in our virtual world. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here myself. I'm sitting in Duluth, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and we have members and others watching from all over the world. We call ourselves the Center for Spiritual Living, or CSL Midtown for short, because we want to honor our roots in Midtown, Atlanta, here in the United States. But thanks to how the universe has unfolded over the past few years, we are now the Midtown of wherever you are. Wherever you are in the world watching this, you are the center of the universe. You are the Midtown. So we thank you for joining us today. We are very pleased to have you here, and we want you to feel free to call yourself part of the spiritual community that is CSL Midtown. Knowing that creates a wonderful and exciting opportunity to be grateful and to celebrate. We come together to share knowledge and experiences and to learn new things about the life and about ourselves. To help you, everyone understand who we are and what we believe, we'd like to share part of our Declaration of Principles in this video.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. I love that video too. This video contains only a part of our Declaration of Principles. If you want to read the rest of it, the original declaration, you can find it on our website at cslmidtown.org. On that site, you also have a link where you can give financially to this community and help us stay on the air so that we can continue giving to you and others around the world. We could use your help right now, and that's true of spiritual centers all over the world. So we would appreciate anything that you can do for us. One of the services we offer through CSL Midtown comes through our practitioners. And I am honored to be a practitioner here. And you can find a list of these people on our website at cslmidtown.org. A spiritual mind treatment, or a treatment as it is called, is, in essence, an affirmative or positive prayer. Applying the spiritual principles of what is known as religious science and the spiritual mind treatment is so central to this teaching. I'm about to take us through a more general spiritual mind treatment. When you have a more specific need, you can contact us through the website and have a practitioner contact you, or you can send an email to info@cslmidtown.org and request that a practitioner contact you. And we can do a very specific spiritual mind treatment for you. And it'll be similar to this. I serve on the board of trustees and as a practitioner here. And I am pleased to offer a spiritual mind treatment for this community today. As I mentioned before, spiritual mind treatment is an affirmative prayer or a positive prayer. Whether it is one-on-one or for the community, as I'm about to do, a practitioner will speak it in the first person, which means that they will be treating their own mind. I will be treating my mind in this case. So you will hear I instead of you or we, unless I mess up, and I do sometimes. And it's up to you to take these words into you and treat your own mind with your own truth. The treatment is simply a guidance for you. From what I say in this treatment, please take the parts that resonate with you and repeat them in your mind to help shape the world around you. If there is anything that does not feel right to you, just pass it on by. Maybe it'll come back later, maybe it won't. What matters is what is stated in our Declaration of Principles, the concept that all thought is creative and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. To me, that is one of the strongest statements in that principle. So let's craft our thoughts in ways that will create the personal experience that we can enjoy and that serves us well and that serves those around us today. Please join me as I give you a spiritual mind treatment. Again, this is a very general one, and a practitioner would be happy to work with you on one-on-one if you desire. So let's get comfortable. Take a deep breath and let it out. And take another and relax. And know this with me about your life, if you will. I know that there is one God, one Creator, who is called by many names. I choose to call the Creator Source, because Source is the creator of all things, the beginning point. Source, or God, created everything out of love and a desire to express love. I know that I was created by Source. Therefore, I am one with Source. I know that all thought is creative. Therefore, my thoughts are creative. The power of Source creates with me and through me. Therefore, when I see the truth as Source sees it, I only see perfection. In every aspect of my life, I see perfection. In my health, in my relationships, in my finances, in my family, and in everything there is, I see only perfection. I know that is what Source has for me, and we created together, and I receive it into my life. Nothing can keep me from the perfection in my life, because I see it, I say it, and it manifests for me. My thought is creative, and I remind myself daily to think. No, I remind myself daily to know that perfection is mine in my health, my finances, my relationships, my family, my vocation, and so much more. This is my life. It gets better every moment of every day. All that I desire and deserve becomes mine through Source. I know this is true, and I open my heart and mind to receive it as Source brings it down to me, as God provides. I am grateful for all that I have and all that is coming to me today and this coming week, because this is the truth that I know. And I release this into the universe, knowing that it will all come, it will all be good, and that everything works for me. So together we say, and so it is.
Greetings, CSL Midtown. Good morning to everyone in the building and online. The title of my segment of today's exploration of the topic, Stumbling Blocks or Stepping Stones, is Divine Discontent. It's all God, it's all good. If you spent any length of time around CSL or any other New Thought organization, you know that two of the foundational premises are that, number one, there's only one presence, one power in the universe, which is that infinite, intelligent life force that many of us call God. There's only one presence in all creation, so God is all there is. We say that God shows up in all, through all, as all. And the second foundational premise of this teaching is that the nature of God is good. So since there's nothing apart from God, we teach that the nature of all is good. So good shows up in all, through all, as all the time. That good is the inherent nature back of every single person, place, thing, and experience. To paraphrase the Bible, all things work together for good for those who know the truth. But as part of our human experience, almost all of us have had situations that at first glance, and sometimes even second, third, fourth, and fifth glance, most of us have had experiences that simply do not seem good or feel good. I'm going to talk about a way of looking at some of those experiences that is known as divine discontent. Now, I don't know who first came up with this term, but an explanation of it I found online comes from the New Thought minister, Reverend Dr. Abigail Abbott of the All Faith Center in San Diego, California. Reverend Dr. Abbott says of divine discontent that it is a higher calling, which is always meant to move us out of our comfort zone and expand us into something greater than before. Life always moves us upward and onward. The part that I find missing from her description is that this urging for us to move forward toward our greater good doesn't always look or feel so good, hence the discontent part. I first became aware of this term and its related phenomena in my metaphysical studies back around the year 2000 or so. The term came to my awareness as I was living in the suburbs of South Florida and working on Miami Beach. I was a teacher at Miami Beach Senior High, and like many people, I've always had a love for the beach and the desire to be near it all the time. I wanted to live on the beach. It was my first year teaching there at Miami Beach High and my second year teaching overall. I soon met a couple of ladies who were also young new teachers who did live on the beach. I, however, could not fathom how I could possibly afford the rent required to live there. And as I had a husband and a small child, we couldn't live in a studio or an efficiency like my one friend. And we couldn't afford the great deal of a price that my other friend paid for her beautiful 2 or 3 bedroom apartment. It's Miami Beach, y'all. It's not cheap. And you know how much beginning teachers earn. Not much at all. Oh, but Miami Beach is so beautiful. So I would most often take the longer route to and from home just so I could drive down Ocean Drive and admire the beauty and tranquility of the beach. And as I did that, I just remember that my heart was just like deeply desiring and yearning to live there. And at the same time, I was becoming more and more discontent with my current living environment and its surroundings. I was living in an apartment in the suburbs south of Miami that I considered temporary when I first moved there. The neighborhood was okay, especially if I avoided visiting the grocery stores and gas stations, et cetera, that were nearest me. I basically lived just on the right side of the track, so to speak. In my case, the track was actually the turnpike, which separated the neighborhoods. In fact, from my back balcony, my view was of said turnpike. It was just a short way into the distance. And like most people, I enjoy beauty and cleanliness and order and even luxury and opulence. But it would take me a good 15 minutes to get to the nice shopping centers and other conveniences to the east of me. And that was the standard that I was used to living. I grew up living that way. I'd always lived that way before I moved to this location. But it was much more convenient for me to get to the nearest not so clean and orderly shopping centers and conveniences just to the west. It was just about 3 to 7 minutes to get there. So as my desire to live on the beautiful beach grew, my discontent with my immediate surroundings also grew. My discontent grew to the point where I became pretty unhappy with living where I was, and I even began to feel a little depressed about what my life had become at the ripe age of like 27 or so. So long story short, I 100% attribute my discontent with living where I was to be what drove me to wholeheartedly dive into the conscious manifestation process and go after my desire to live on the beach, which of course I did. I found a lovely two-bedroom apartment with intercoastal and beach views at a great price in a lovely older yet very well-kept building in a beautiful section of Miami Beach called Sunny Isles Beach. The thing is that before teaching on the beach, I could not imagine paying that price for an apartment. But this experience allowed me to stretch the borders of my imagination and be set free from that limiting belief. I know that it was the feeling of discontent that drove me toward my good. And I know that that was nothing but a God thing. I'm sure you know of many stories like that, where maybe someone had a desire to pursue their dream career, but felt stuck where they were. And their discontent drove them to follow their heart's desire and find that newer, better job. Or maybe it's discontent in a relationship or with a product or service they're using. It feels like discontent, but as this teaching says, everything is God. So even that discontent is divine. Ernest Holmes says, nature will not let us stay in any one place for too long. Spirit will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to unfolding and advancement of the soul. This is a wise provision, for should we stay too long, we would become too set, too rigid, too inflexible. Nature demands change in order that we may advance. Sometimes, friends, the urge to advance comes through divine discontent. But take heart, it's all good. And it's all God. Thank you. And now we'll hear from the third practitioner you'll hear from this morning. So sit back and relax and allow the beautiful and vivacious Barbara Guillory to delight you with her wisdom. Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you, Maya. That was absolutely intriguing and just really wonderful, very insightful. Judy, a fantastic job in framing where we are and who we are this morning. Excuse me. I do want to shout out to Jake. Jake is our IT director, guys, and he has put everything in place. Jake, fantastic job. Also, Richard, Lynn, our volunteers, Connie, this does not happen without our volunteers. And of course, we have Sylvia here this morning as well. She's very supportive. This morning, I'm happy to be part of this. This is a dream that Dr. Bob had for us to have Practitioner Sunday. So thank you, Dr. Bob, for dreaming such a beautiful dream. So all of you, welcome into the dream of Dr. Bob. We are constantly in someone's dream, or we are the dreamers. So you always want to know whose dream that you're supporting or whose dream you're dreaming. But it's always good to know that there is a dream that you can be part of. As Judy said earlier, is it a stumbling block or is it a stepping stone? This morning, I want to talk to you about triggers. We live in a world where we're often triggered. We're triggered by different things. We're triggered without even knowing that we are triggered. We're triggered saying these things from our conditioning, from our childhood, from school, from our families. And again, these are beliefs that we have about ourselves. When these beliefs are not challenged, then we come to believe this is who we are. But again, I want to throw out a few situations. Sometimes we may find ourselves around people where we have to walk on eggshells because we don't want to hurt their feelings. So the question is, are you triggered into being hurt, or are you triggered into being a healer in that situation? Or maybe you find yourself in a situation where you have to play small so someone else's feelings don't get hurt, because you're just great. You're just great. There's no other reason. You're just great. But you, since there's somebody wanting to be this victim, okay? Guys, you know, I'm grew up as a Catholic, went to Catholic school, so you know this victim thing, I got down pat. So that was my conditioning. And of course, over the years, coming to the classes here with the, at the time it was Science of Mind, and I began to kind of heal myself of being that person, that small person, being that person that my parents told me I was, the school told me I was, my friends told me. Because as you continue to live in life, your challenges grow. But do the concept of you, your idea of you, does it grow along with you? And oftentimes it doesn't, because it's just an automatic thing. So if we're like in a line in the grocery store, are we triggered into being hurt, being this victim because we have to stand in line? Are we triggered into being a healer? So we have this choice about who we are, who we want to be. How do we want to express ourselves in a given situation? In school, especially, you know, if somebody just shows up, we don't have to know them. We just don't like them. We just don't. We have no reason why. We just don't. Or they can be on TV. And we form this relationship with these people on TV that never know us or care for us. But we have so many emotions. Oh, my God, they are this and they are that. And again, these are beliefs we have about ourselves. So the question is, are you triggered into being hurt about them being on TV, about them looking great, about them being who they are, about them living their best life? Are you triggered into being a healer? So through the classes, I began to heal myself. And guys, this was just absolutely wonderful, because I didn't have to be that victim. I did not have to bring harm to myself simply because someone else was who they were, which had nothing at all to do with me. And of course, went to classes, continued the classes, then I found I can bring healing to not just myself, but to others as well. So this is real exciting, because I am that people person. I'm always wanting to help people. But sometimes you may not know how. And through the teachings here, Science of Mind, Center for Spiritual Living, I learn through spirit This is the best way we can help anyone. By connecting and creating with spirit, I can create an experience for myself that I so desire. I can create an experience of love instantly. I can create an experience of harmony instantly. I can create an experience of peace instantly. I can create an experience of healing instantly. And this has been the mindset that has brought freedom into my life, that has brought greatness into my life. And this is what I share with you all today. So I want to leave you with the idea of believing in your greatness, believing in who you truly are, in that spirit. When you listen to spirit, the message they have for you is about your goodness. It's about your greatness. It is about your peace. It is about your joy. It is about your health. It is about your creativity. What is there not to love about you? So just know, is it a stumbling block or a stepping stone? We can use our triggers to bring into existence hurt or healing. And again, this is how we can live our best life. I do also want to shout out to Lee Huffman. He's on the Camino. He is a practitioner. It just so happened that he checked in this morning. So he's part of our dream. And again, as we all continue to dream, let's just have fun as we do. So the next practitioner that is up, guys, is Norma Roberts. Norma actually lives in Florida, but Norma is like my sister. She is my sister. Instantly met her, and the energy, the spirit was one. When you hear people say one, that is just one where you don't have to work at it. So I want to introduce my sister this morning. Norma, I tease her as calling her Reverend Norma because her spirit is just so reverent for me. And you look gorgeous this morning. Take it away, Norma Roberts.
Oh, thank you so very much, Barbara. You are really a true sister. Thank you again. And good morning. It's wonderful to be here today as we are focusing on the strength of God in our everyday struggle. In a creative mind, Ernest Holmes states, we have within us a power that is greater than anything we shall ever contact on the outer. It's a power that can overcome every obstacle in our life. As I tell you my story, you will have the opportunity to decide where the stumbling blocks are or whether they are stepping stones. You see, being the oldest child in the family and not having much money, college was never ever mentioned for me. When I finished school, I was expected to get a job and help the family. But instead, I got married and began having children. I want to stop here for a moment and let you know that the stories that we read as children, they are really fairy tales. When it says, and they lived happily ever after, it's a part of the fairy tale. And I was sort of believing in that fairy tale. But at this point in my life was sort of in turmoil. I knew that you had to value yourself, but I didn't know who I was or what there was to value. But I did get a job. Schools were segregated at the time, but I found myself a job working in a white high school cafeteria as a pot washer. The manager seemed to like me, and in time, I was given the chore to find someone to do the job that I had been hired to do. I found two friends who took over the job as a power washer, and I was assigned other duties there. Eventually, the manager told me, I'm going to make you a manager just like me. Administrators from the counter approached me, but being young and Black, I was required to take an IQ test for any advancement. But after the test, they really pushed me. I was placed in the first brand new school that opened in the Black community. Working there for a while, I decided to enroll in college against all of my husband's commands or demands. Since I was working with foods, I thought, hey, might be a good idea for me to be a dietitian. But again, because of segregation, I was informed that there was no place for me to get training. I received my degree in education, and by this time, schools were integrated. Thinking that I would be hired as a teacher in the school where I had been working, I met with the principal and informed him of my desire to teach at this school. However, the principal emphatically said, no, you would not fit in here. I wouldn't hire you as a teacher after you've been a food service manager. You will not be allowed to go into the classroom as a teacher after food services. You wouldn't be accepted there. I don't even remember how I felt after this. He was a person telling me that I was of no value, of no good at all. But I do know you don't have to allow anyone to diminish you, especially if you value yourself. And at this point, I had learned that I was of some value. I was beginning to love myself. A few weeks later, a family friend who was an assistant principal in a middle school called and asked me if I would work in his school. He told me I would have to come in for an interview, but I already had the job if I would take it. I was hired at this school as a teacher of mathematics. A couple of years later, I was named Teacher of the Year. I was made head of the math department, and I served in that capacity for more than 37 years. Along the way, I earned a master's degree in mathematics education. While I worked at the middle school during the day, I taught adults in a GED program at night. I retired from middle school and began working full-time in the GED program. I often tutored students having problems passing the GED math test for free. One day, after teaching one of my free students, the teacher I was working with put something in my hand. When I got to my car, I found it was $300. I want to stop my story here, but I want to let everyone know that I know I was always in God's hands. But I know that if God is for me, who can be against me? Let me say this. When you're facing a challenge, are you able to look at it and say, oh, this is just a stumbling block? I doubt it. You don't think about it like that. Do you have an expectancy of some change? Remember this, that it is your faith, and it is your faith that will see you through whatever challenge you're experiencing. There are better days ahead. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody, for those wonderful talks this morning. Some of you may have recognized that was a little bit of a replay from a talk we had last year, but awesome practitioners we have here teaching great thinking and spreading the message that we have at CSL Midtown. Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. And if you would, we've got an opportunity to donate right now to serve and keep this community online and growing. And here is your opportunity. You can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate or click on the QR code. It'll take you right there. And if you will, read our affirmation of prosperity with me. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. So next week, we expect Dr. Bob back with us. And he's going to be talking about awakening the resilient spirit, tools for thriving in times of change. And yeah, we're definitely in times of change. Appreciate that with everybody being here out in the world, out there, whether you're on Zoom, you're on YouTube, you're on Facebook. We appreciate you. Let us know you're here and share with us. So that's what's coming up. And if you will, with me, say our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you back here next week.